According to CPJ's report, as you mentioned, there are 50 journalists imprisoned in China, and 22 of them are Uyghur. Why do we see such a higher percentage of Uyghur journalists being targeted by the Chinese government?
Yes, I mean, China, the Chinese Communist Party has been very sensitive about allowing the Uyghur population to establish a separate identity that's different from the Han Chinese identity. And they're very concerned about the, you know, possible influence of Islam on people's thinking. And the imprisonment of journalists in Xinjiang who are Uyghur simply reflects that broader trend. It's some of the imprisonments are very difficult to understand. I mean, these are people who, some of them were Communist Party members, and some of them, you know, appeared to be very loyal to the government. But the government has accused many of them of what they call being two-faced. In other words, openly supporting the party, but secretly opposing its rule. So I think the greater imprisonment of Uyghur journalists simply reflects the Communist Party policy toward the Uyghur minority.
The Chinese Communist Party is going to hold the 28th Party Congress later this year. Do you expect to see press freedom in China keep deteriorating because of that? Why and what kind of information will Xi Jinping want to silence?
Well, it's clear that Xi Jinping and his government are trying to prevent open criticism of the Communist Party policies or open criticism of the president himself. And I think in the run-up to the Party Congress, this is going to become even more severe. I think everyone realizes now that China's zero COVID policy has been a failure in many ways. Early on, it would seem to be quite successful, but with these highly contagious variants, it's clear that the government has to take extraordinary measures that are really counterproductive in order to enforce this. And yet no one can openly say this in China, because that would involve a challenge to the Chinese president. So I think we're going to see more and more controls. Can we hope for something better after the Congress? It's very difficult to envision this. It's been a hallmark of Xi Jinping's regime and his rule that information controls have become tighter and tighter over time.
What do you think are the reasons Beijing ramp up efforts cracking down tech and financial influencers recently?
I think what we've seen in China is that the government wants to attack any independent source of authority or power, and this includes the leaders of the tech companies. It suggests that China simply doesn't want any dissident opinions or even friendly challenges to what it is doing. Because after all, these executives were not openly challenging communist rule. But they may have been expressing opinions that were not authorized or endorsed by the Communist Party. So I think what we're seeing is a continuing level of crackdown on any independent source of authority or power.
If the information about the real numbers of cases and seriousness of the pandemic in China continues not to be circulated, what would the scenario be, especially for the rest of the world?
Well, first of all, we have no idea about the accuracy of those figures. We all suspect that they are not fully reported, either the number of cases, you know, or the deaths. Now, there are a number of implications for the rest of the world. But I think the first is that as long as China continues this policy of severe lockdowns, then it's going to affect the economy. And when the Chinese economy doesn't grow, it does have a global impact. That's I think the most significant. We have to wonder about Chinese policies, for example, about not using imported vaccines, which have proven to be more effective. I think the Chinese are now trying to step up the vaccination of the older population, which was lagging behind, and that's certainly a good move. When China is able to have some degree of control over the pandemic, then we can expect the impact on the economy to lessen. But this seems to be politically difficult because people cannot openly criticize the zero COVID policy, since this is so associated with President Xi Jinping. And of course, the formal press is not able to report these views.
How about China's propaganda? Let's take Russia's invasion in Ukraine as example. How widely circulated are they, and what are the impacts both domestically and internationally?
Well, I think the Chinese propaganda effort at home, it appears to be quite successful. Of course, we don't know for sure because we're not able to conduct, you know, open polling in China. But we do see signs that the Chinese have jumped on this nationalist bandwagon to support the government view. And I mean, China's in a rather difficult situation because it did have diplomatic relations with Ukraine. It was an independent sovereign state, was a member of the United Nations, and it has been one of China's longstanding policies to support the sovereignty of independent countries. And I think that their public position on this is rather strained. But we do see the Chinese Communist Party encouraging these strong nationalist feelings at home. And as far as we know, this has been fairly successful.
John Lee, Hong Kong's sole executive candidate, said that there is no need to defend press freedom because it exists in Hong Kong. How would you respond to this? He added that press freedom needs to fulfill requirements of the law. However, laws in Hong Kong are now seen problematic to many other countries. How do you see the press environment in Hong Kong now? Is there any major differences in this regard when compared with cities in mainland China?
Hong Kong is still obviously more free in terms of the press than mainland China. I think that continues to be true. At the same time, we have seen a series of actions against prominent journalists, including Jimmy Lai and much of the senior staff of the Apple Daily and the Next Digital Group, who are in jail now. That sent a terrible signal. We've seen the arrests at Stan News. Stan News was forced to close down. And in response to that, other publications, for example, Citizen News, they voluntarily closed because they could no longer feel confident that the reporting they did would be acceptable under the law. And now we've seen at the Hong Kong, the Foreign Correspondents Club, they have suspended their annual Human Rights Award because we understand they were going to give that award to journalists at Stan News. And they determined that it put the club potentially in legal jeopardy with the national security law. So I think the claim that there is press freedom in Hong Kong is simply not true. Now, it's simply not the way it was before. The Apple Daily was a highly critical voice of the Communist Party and was pro-democracy. Their voice was completely silenced. And we've seen almost all of the independent press, not all of it, but almost all, closed in Hong Kong, either forced to be closed or self-closed, or closed by their own decision. And so I think overall, you cannot claim that Hong Kong has press freedom. Now, once you say you have press freedom, but they have to comply with the laws, and those laws potentially put people in jail for what the government thinks is false news or what the government claims are opinions that oppose the national security law, then that's a contradiction. You cannot have press freedom, you know, under those circumstances.